It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Shermaine Harris grew up in a troubled neighborhood in Racine, and he traces his path to prison for drug dealing to a rough start and bad decisions at an early age. But he set a new path, starting in a prison boot camp program, and went on to complete his education and become a mentor to fathers in Wisconsin and beyond. In 2022, Governor Tony Evers pardoned Shermaine for his crimes, and today he is a national speaker and trainer on father engagement and prison reentry. He shares his story in a new memoir. Shermaine Harris is the author of the book Rising Above the Odds, My Journey from Pain and Prison to Power and Purpose. He talked with Rob Ferret.
Shermaine, you start your book with this painful moment. You have been arrested for selling drugs. You've got to call your father from jail and tell him about this. What was that moment like? Why did you decide to start your book there?
For the reader, I just wanted to kind of pull them in right away to what was happening at that moment. Living a life that I was living, I got caught up in those kind of situations. And so I ended up going to jail. And my father was someone who always told me, you know, to do the right thing. He had changed his life already. And I messed up. And then I had to call the person that had been trying to guide me down the right direction. And so I just wanted to make sure that was the kind of focal point of the story and, you know, the situation that or circumstances that happened after that.
Tell us some about your childhood. You talk about the north side of Racine from an early age. You see it as violent with gang affiliations, then it very much affected your life and the life of the kids around you. Can you share a little bit about what that was like?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up Racine, north side. And, you know, as I said, it was tough. 80s, 90s era where, you know, a lot of things was happening societally. But as I mentioned, you know, some of my early memories are, you know, police sirens and shootings and remember a young lady being killed and, you know, smelling the crimson red blood on the concrete. And it was just a tough experience, you know, going through those kind of situations and then traumatic experiences in a community where I think I mentioned in the book at the age of 11, I sold drugs for the first time. So growing up was rough in Racine and, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of opportunity. You had to make the best of what you had.
You describe your older brother in one case, fathers in some other cases, raising kids to be tough and encouraging them to fight and encouraging them to be violent and thinking of that, I think, as a favor, as a good thing to prepare you for a difficult life. What did that teach you and the other kids you grew up with?
Oh, man. It's something that you just learn early. It's ingrained in you that, you know, you gotta have tough skin around here. You gotta be tough and every day a fight is possible. All of us growing up living in poverty, you know, feeling like our poverty is better than the next person's poverty. So, you know, kids getting made fun of and, you know, we didn't have the most resources. So I always say how I went to school on the first day of seventh grade with a hole in my shoe. And I knew that was going to bring about a fight. So I appreciate my brother and all the other, you know, figures around me for showing me early. I'm talking 7, 8 years old, how to put my fist up, how to defend myself, how to fight if somebody came at me. So it's a good thing. But the bad side of it is you kind of develop some bad habits where, you know, you don't really trust nobody and you feel like everybody is out to get you.
People, I think, wonder, well, what would lead a kid to start selling drugs? And you were just talking about that a little bit. The economic opportunity wasn't there, and this looked like the way to get, you know, shoes without holes in them and things like that. From the perspective of a kid in that community, in that situation, what was the appeal of selling drugs?
Well, the appeal was the fashion, the shoes, the clothes, you know, the status. Growing up poor, you having to wear clothes from Goodwill and St. Vincent, you know, it's tough because the people around you are so bought into these brands, Nike, Jordan, you feel like you have to measure up, especially around sixth, seventh grade, where you start to have your own identity. So that was the appeal to, you know, get started. But as I mentioned in the book, it wasn't that I wanted to get started. I was going around the community asking for money for my birthday. And a guy said, hey, stop asking for money. Here, take these two bags of crack cocaine and sell them. That's how men make money. That's how real men make money. So that was part of the appeal too, you know, being taught those lessons, but knowing that that person was taught those lessons from somebody else and passed it down to me. And that was his idea of what it meant to make a, what it meant to be a man.
Now, you end up in Kenosha. There's a custody battle between your parents. They end up living close enough. You can kind of see both of them. And one story that really stood out to you, and you tell this story later when you're incarcerated too, see, visiting your mom and seeing the state and the struggle she was in. Can you share that moment with us?
Yeah, after the custody battle, my mom was really going through a rough patch in life. And, you know, she was in Racine. My dad won. I moved to Kenosha and I would visit her on the weekends. And, you know, at this moment, I believe the lights were off and, you know, she had candles burning and just really not doing well. And I just remember her saying it's been a while since she had ate. Not because it wasn't no food, but just because she was depressed and didn't want to get out the bed, specifically because she lost me as her child to my father. And so I went and bought her some food. And when I brought it back, just hearing her just like enjoy the food that I bought and just love it. It was great to do, but it just hurt me inside. And I said, man, I got to figure something out. I got to find a way to help my mom.
You end up at a turning point. You go to UW Stout, encouraged by your father. A coach in high school helped you set that up. It didn't end up sticking. What ended up falling short there and then leading you into the situation where you end up being arrested and incarcerated?
Yeah, so moved to Kenosha, had my father's support, but when I left, I already thought I knew who I was. And so there was a contentious battle between me and my father. My mother did, you know, clean herself up, end up moving to Kenosha as well. But one thing about my dad, he was big on education. So, and being involved in sports. So he made sure I graduated high school. And then, I went to college, UW Stout. But while there, I just kind of felt out of place. It was a PWI, didn't really feel connected. And then on top of that, I didn't really understand how college worked. Nobody in my family before me went to college. So I didn't understand financial aid and applying for this or that. And so I made the conscious decision to come back. But the subconscious part was going back to my friends and the people that I grew up with and going back to the streets in a sense. And I made that subconscious and that conscious decision.
Now you end up back in that situation. We get to where we started with you're arrested, ultimately incarcerated, kind of a turning point for you, or one of a series, I think, of turning points. You end up in prison, but you go to a challenged incarceration program, a kind of boot camp. And that seems to be something that really got through to you. What was it about that boot camp?
Yeah, so when I caught my original charge, I did a year in the county jail first. And then I was on probation and had struggles. And if I was to mess up, I would face prison time. I messed up and then end up facing prison time on probation. So when I went back this time, it was different. It wasn't the county jail. The county jail, you're kind of close. You know, your family can come see you whenever. Prison, you 2-3 hours away, you know, and it's different. You know, people can't just come visit you and see you. So did 6 months in a regular prison. or a medium prison, and then eventually went to the challenge incarceration program or the boot camp program. And that's where I really just had time to really develop myself. You know, we doing physical training, intense therapy for AODA and criminal thinking and things like that. And I really just bought into the program, whereas before I just kind of went through the motions. This time I told myself, I'm going to go through this situation and I'm going to learn as much as I can so that I can be the best that I can be when I got out of prison.
Charmaine, the most powerful moment in the book to me, you're in this challenge incarceration program. You're in a group therapy situation and they want all of you to share a story. And you say, you know, some guys go through the motions. You made a decision. You were going to really share a couple traumatic moments in your life. And you're crying right in front of this room full of tough guys. That really started you on the path of telling your story and figuring out what it meant to you.
Yeah, it was the first time I really been in like therapy in a sense. So it was extremely therapeutic. And as I said, I was going to get the most out of this program. And, you know, I'm one of those perceived tough guys. So part of me was just like, let's get the most out of this program and, you know, maybe I can be a leader or something. So I went up and just really shared everything, and I could barely get my words out because my tears was flowing on a piece of paper in front of me. But that started a ripple effect. Everybody else couldn't believe it, and they started or decided to start sharing their stories as well.
Charmaine Harris is with us talking about his new book, Rising Above the Odds, My Journey from Pain and Prison to Power and Purpose. Charmaine, let's get into that power and purpose. We talked a little bit about the role of your father. You become a father, and you really embrace this role as a leader, helping other dads become good fathers. What led you there?
I went through these rough battles with employment, you know, some of the barriers people with felony convictions face when they come out. But during that entire time, my girlfriend then, my wife now, was pregnant. So I knew I had to change. And so went through a process. He was born January 2nd, 2014. And it was just eye-opening. You know, I just couldn't see myself behaving the way I had. I told myself I refuse to be somebody that's not in my child's life. I refuse to have my son coming to visit me behind those walls and bars and things like that. And so as I got focused and, you know, really started to lead myself, more opportunities came for me. And then I eventually got a major opportunity with the Community Action Agency. Sorry, the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency. And that took my career to the next level.
You express a lot of gratitude throughout the book and then in your acknowledgments at the end. Your family, of course, but one of your second parole officer, a district attorney, the judge who sentenced you but then later did a sentence modification. What did those people mean to you, the ones that, you know, gave that saw the work you were doing and said, hey, this guy needs a second chance?
Man, it was just confirmation that I was headed down the right path. Every situation, hold on, I'm tearing up over audio.
Yeah.
Every situation that I was involved in with community support, it was just so refreshing to know that people see my change. And, you know, District Attorney Mike Gravely is on record saying, you know, people should be rewarded when they change. And so these were just consequences or me reaping the rewards for all the seeds that I had planted over the years. The boot camp program, you know, becoming a father, being gainfully employed, and then all these opportunities just started coming for me. So I'm very appreciative of them, and I wouldn't be here without them.
Now, Charmaine, something that really strikes me about the book is you acknowledge your mistakes. You don't make excuses for yourself. But at the same time, you say, hey, wait a minute, there are some problems in our system that lower the odds for some people. The book is Rising Above the Odds. I want to look at a couple of those. You mentioned the barriers, right, for somebody coming out of prison. They're on parole. They have that felony conviction that really get in the way of some of the things, housing, employment, and more that you need to do, right, to stay out of prison. What kind of changes would you want to see?
You know, there's a lot of conversation around second chances and, you know, feeling like people who have felony convictions deserve a second chance. It's all theory for the most part, largely. But a lot of people don't actually practice it. So, you know, you got great movements like Ban the Box, where, you know, employers are attempting not to ask those questions. But that same concept can be applied to housing and property management companies. I'm not sure if you know, but, you know, a person with a felony conviction or on parole will be denied life insurance. There's so many other different things, Pell Grants when it comes to education, FAFSA applications, so many societal things. And so sometimes you hope that you would have a second chance, but it's not given to you. And it's something that you have to go and take, in my opinion. So that's why I titled my book Rising Above the Odds, not necessarily beating the odds, but rising above them, because they're not going nowhere, in my opinion.
Starting even earlier now with Rising Above the Odds, Charmaine, take a kid, maybe that 12-year-old kid, maybe today in North Racine. What would help them steer clear of the path you started on that led to being incarcerated?
Well, that's why I'm real big on fatherhood and people my age or older recognizing some of the obstacles put in our way. And what would stop that kid, would, if his father is around, him recognizing his importance in that young child's life. If he's not there, a community of support of strong men and women, but just a community of support around him that can help him kind of dive into some of those deeper issues at an earlier age. You shouldn't have to go to prison before you get a chance to be in therapy for the first time. So if that kid could have an early intervention, 10, 11, 9 years old, it'll make a world of a difference.
You really talk about the power of words a lot, both, you know, in that Challenge Incarceration program when you share your story, when you're leading fatherhood seminars, and in this book. What do you hope that sharing your story will do to get other people to share their stories and maybe learn some lessons along the way?
Well, that's the thing, you know, as a career speaker now, and, you know, being able to build a business based off my story. Once you know yourself, you know, you understand yourself. And so there's a real deep dive into something called emotional intelligence. And, you know, those words, speaking affirmation over yourself, telling yourself you can do it, because the stigma of a felony conviction has both external and internal kind of consequences. So the way you speak to yourself, oh, I'm a felon, I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to accomplish this or accomplish that because X, Y, and Z. Being able to hone in your story and recognize that your story has power and you're in the power to change someone else's life. You stop living a kind of selfish kind of way and you start empowering others and recognizing that your gift can literally transform an entire community like I did.
Charmaine, thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
Charmaine Harris is a national speaker and trainer on father engagement and prison reentry. After being incarcerated, he was pardoned by Governor Evers in 2022. He talked with Rob Ferret about his new book. It's called Rising Above the Odds: My Journey from Pain and Prison to Power and Purpose.